Big night here in America. Big night. It's like, I feel like Dan Patrick, the guys before the football games on channel. Football night in America. It's election night in America. Iowa caucuses starting up if you're watching the cable news channels. So much fun watching real moments of shoving pieces of papers in the bowls.
Yeah, like one of the bowls is an Iowa Cubs bowl. Very nice.
It looks leftover popcorny. And then there's stuff. The stuff is like falling out of it. Like, it's so good. You know, Pat Brady, who's going to join us later in the show, he was on Rokan, and he talked about how there's no David Orr in this process. There's no board of elections. It's run by both parties. So if a vote falls on the ground or they want to like kind of sway it one way or the other, there's always that opportunity because the parties are running it, not some sort of board, which is interesting. I don't think you can do that in Illinois.
I wouldn't think so.
I think at some point they're like, hey, honor system. And they're like, I've got the shovel and I know the graveyard's right behind me. And they're like, all right, we need a guy. We need a guy to make sure that doesn't happen. But the caucus is about, you know, they were supposed to close essentially after 8 o'clock, but there was some, you know, we heard Martyr talking that, you know, there were big lines, so they didn't start a little bit later. But we're going to start our coverage coming up at 8 o'clock with Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. We have a amazing lineup tonight of people, because what we want to do tonight is give you the results. You can get the results anywhere. But what we want to do is analyze the results and what it means for the state of Illinois, for the parties, for the campaigns, for the people that are doing work on behalf of these candidates here, whether it be in the city of Chicago, whether it be downstate, anywhere in Illinois as the primary comes up in the middle of March. But there's a ton of people that we have lined up tonight. So many different you know, people that are prestigious and prominent here in Chicago and Illinois that are representing Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush and others. I mean, we're going to have Governor Edgar is going to join us tonight, and he's for Jeb Bush, who's not so far, just at the beginning. Who knows? You know, it's like it's always like, oh, Ted Cruz is winning with 1% of the vote. He has 40 votes. Trump has 10. So we'll talk with the people behind all the different, J.B. Pritzker is going to join us, talk about Hillary Clinton's performance tonight.
Great.
We're going to talk with Alderman, Sedlowski Garza, who is part of Bernie Sanders' camp, a delegate, who also, you know, was in Iowa over the weekend. You saw some of the stories on the news yesterday of Chicago lawmakers and politicians who went out to canvass for Bernie Sanders in Iowa. You know, and Chuy Garcia is in, Bernie Sanders' party camp tonight in Des Moines. We're going to try to get hold of him. Some others that are around. So it's a great night for politics, but it's also a tremendous night for the polls and the pundits here in Chicago. So we'll talk with those people. I'm excited. You excited?
Heck yeah. It was great.
I mean, it's kind of great. We talked about this a little bit that, you know, just our natural time slot being 7 to 11, we're afforded the opportunity to live elections.
Right.
I feel like I'm, what was the guy, Stone Phillips. Remember Stone Phillips?
He used to host Dateline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd be trotted out for election night, right? I don't know. We're going to need to do some things before the show starts at 8, though. We're going to need a big floor map in here, and I'm going to need to get a suit. And this whole studio needs to be redone. I need to be able to do some stuff with the screen.
Oh yeah,
move some little counties around. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna need an earpiece. You know, like I'm gonna need something where you guys can tell me cool facts in my ears. I go, Boone County has 27% turnout. Like I just came up with it.
I think. And going along with what I'm watching on CNN, where they're just putting pieces of crumpled up paper in buckets.
It looks like a game of bingo.
Go old school. Tim Russert. Yeah, just, you know, remember Tim Russert? Just
course.
He had the, you know, the pen and the paper. Just do that.
I wonder if they're being, like, tricked a little bit. Like, this is the caucus camera watching on CNN. But I wonder if it's just bingo night. And it kind of looks like they think it's caucus night. But they're like, it really does. Like, they keep looking going, anyone got B30? B-15? Trump's like, I got B-15. B-15's a loser.
And poor Martin O'Malley, they're showing the results, and he was in fourth. They had 1% was uncommitted, and then 0% was Martin O'Malley.
They changed some stuff. Kitty Kerr sent me something about this. They used to list on the Democratic side all the candidates, and you could vote. And what they did just in the last month, just because they want to truncate it on the Democratic side, is they took some of the fringe candidates that don't have a tremendous amount of advertising support and that kind of thing, and they just put them under other. So you have to almost write them in and other as opposed to, you know, you, and I guess that I don't know if there's any case of any time in history where an other candidate, you know, surprised the masses. I mean, you have to, you know, by name rec, but they did do that just to kind of get the at least on the Democrat side, you know, some of the other candidates off the ballot. All right. So, you know what? We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get Rob Martyr involved, and then we'll start up the download special coverage of the Iowa caucuses results here on WGN.
Oh, there's nothing halfway about the Iowa way to treat you when we treat you,
which we may not do at all. There's an Iowa kind, a special chip on the shoulder, attitude we've never been without,
that we recall.
It's a download special election results edition here on WGN. It's finally here, the official beginning of the 2016 presidential campaign and the Iowa caucuses. Looks like they're not going to disappoint. Tonight we look at opening night, the first stop on the journey to the White House. And it's not just about who wins. It's almost more about who comes in second, only in politics. Tonight we give you the results and, of course, we analyze them. 312-981-7200. We'll take calls throughout the night. What do you think? What's the takeaway? We want to hear from you. We're joined tonight by a long list of players who will give their thoughts on what tonight's events mean for them right here in the state of Illinois. That list includes Governor Jim Edgar, Steve Edwards from the Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago, Congressman Darren LaHood, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Alderman Sue Sedlowski-Garza, the J.B. Pritzker. The list goes on and on and on. But my guests tonight, I'm happy to announce my two co-hosts of our weekly political segment, Touche, are with me for the long haul. Republican analyst Chris Roebling and Democrat analyst Dave Lundy, both in studio. Guys, good to see you.
Good to see you, Justin.
It's election night.
Happy election night.
Happy election. Finally here, huh?
Thank goodness.
All the bloviating, all the spending, it all comes down to people actually going and voting.
And
I love
this
night.
We hear from the important people, the voters.
That's right. So let's talk about this. I mean, there's been a lot, you know, we see CNN breaking down county after county. You guys have a little bit experience with the caucus style of election night. Tell us what's happening right now as the results start to trickle in.
Well, on the Democratic side, the really interesting thing that's going on is right now, Hillary Clinton's up by about 5 points with about a third of the vote counted. And what's happening in caucuses around Iowa is that in every caucus after caucus, you have to be viable. You have to have 15% of each caucus site in order to be considered viable. And if you're not, then those voters have to go to somebody else. And so what's happening right now is that the Clinton people and the Sanders people are wooing the O'Malley people, because right now O'Malley's not doing squat. But there are enough people, if you're talking about a 3-4-5 point spread, that could actually make a difference.
Let me ask you, Dave, just quickly, you know, O'Malley's voters, they tend to be more centrist, or they tend to be more left. Where does the O'Malley voter sit?
You know, there's been a lot of debate about that, because on the one hand, you say, hey, if you're not with Hillary Clinton, you've known her for, you know, decades, you're not going to be with her, so you're likely to go Sanders. On the other hand, you can make the exact same argument for Sanders, saying, hey, if you're not with the guy who is, you know, on the progressive end, the socialist side, well, then you're not going to go. My gut tells me it's going to probably split, you know, two-thirds Sanders, one-third Clinton when push comes to shove.
Chris Roebling, let's look at the other side of the aisle.
I got big news. Ted Cruz is beating Donald Trump with 15 1/3% reporting, 15 1/3% of the precincts. There are about 1,600 precincts out there in Iowa. So for our friendly listeners in Chicago or Cook County, that would be a little less than half of the precincts in the city of Chicago and about a third of the precincts in Cook County. So Iowa is not that big, but we do pay a lot of attention to it. And people have thought Donald Trump would win. Now, we don't have anything definitive, but according to the Des Moines Register right now, Ted Cruz has 29.77% of the vote. Donald Trump is 2.5% behind him at 27.32%.
Does that surprise you?
I'm a little surprised. Marco Rubio has come up to almost 19%. So this is something we anticipated a little. I can say I kind of predicted this on WGN TV last Friday morning after the debate, because I thought that Ted Cruz had disrespected the tradition of...
You mean Donald Trump.
I'm
Donald
sorry.
Trump,
I yeah. thought that Donald Trump had disrespected the tradition of Iowa late deciding. Iowa voters decide both Democrat and Republican at a very high rate on the night of the actual caucuses. And by not participating in that last debate...
Acting like he's so far in front. Yeah.
And by the way, I had the exact same analysis, and that's why I called tonight. And so if I get egg on my face, so be it. But I predicted tonight for Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I think right now, if this keeps up, Cruz is going to win. But we don't know yet. We don't
still
know
a long
yet.
Way to go. And there's a lot of different precincts at different parts
that's
of the
right.
state to report in. But there always has been, and you hear this in a lot of sort of analysis leading up to what Iowa means. You know, is it a conservative state that they don't usually go for the establishment candidate? You've seen some establishment candidates come in and
right.
like Hillary Clinton, for instance, in 2008 and lose. So what does it mean for an establishment like candidate, say, down the line? I guess who's the establishment?
Jeb
Republic?
Bush. Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush. Yeah.
Have they just written this one off?
Well, I think that Iowa is on the Republican side, and Dave can speak to the Democrat. The Republican side, Iowa, is well understood to be a bastion for the evangelical right, predominantly. And Ted Cruz worked assiduously mm-hmm. to garner their support and received key endorsements 6-7 weeks ago that was synced up to a big ground game. And that's another thing that Iowa tests. Iowa tests the extent of any Republican, and I think any Democrat, to actually effectuate a ground game at the precinct level mm-hmm. that's going to get people to turn out on a February night and right. go through this process.
And on the Democratic side, physically stand.
physically stand there. But really what Iowa is, Iowa's all about expectations. Because what's amazing is that candidates always try to downplay their expectations with one exception. Donald Trump this morning said the following: unless I win, I will consider this a big, fat, beautiful, and by the way, very expensive waste of time. He has said he must win, and he must win big today. Oh. So if these results hold true, and there's only 20% on the Republican yeah. side, so it's way too early to say that. But if so, it's going to be really, I have to say, so much fun watching the Donald have to explain what losing means.
Right. Well, there's much, much more to come tonight. Rob Martier will have updates on the numbers. We're going to get updates from Des Moines from our WGN radio crew. Andrea Darlis is going to join us after the break. Also, Steve Edwards from the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics is also going to join us this hour. And then we'll talk with some of the – what I really want to get at is some of the chairs and some of the delegates and some of the people here in the state of Illinois and how they're reacting to the news that will trickle in tonight about their candidates. Mm-hmm. The official start to the 2016 presidential race. We'll have all the results coming out of Iowa. Stay with us tonight. This is special coverage of the Iowa caucuses. Nobody covers 2016 like 720. Stay with us. This is special election coverage of the Iowa caucuses here on The Download. WGN, I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests tonight in studio, Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, talking about the results that are trickling in. Speaking of results, let's get the latest from our WGN Radio's Rob Martier. Rob?
Yeah, 24% reporting on the Republican side, and Ted Cruz remains out in front with 30% of the vote. Mm. Donald Trump in second, 27%. Marco Rubio at 19%. Dr. Ben Carson sticking at 10%. All the rest of the GOP field in single digits. Over on the Democratic side, 38% now reporting. Hillary Clinton with 51%. Bernie Sanders right behind her at 48%, Justin.
There we go. Thanks, Rob. Rob's going to be checking in and updating us throughout the night. When you hear those numbers, I mean, you're seeing a little bit of the widening, especially with Cruz. Seems like Chris, his lead is widening just a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Cruz is showing great resilience here, and he is beating expectations. I pick up on David's earlier point that Iowa is very much about expectations.
Go ahead.
Where are they? Where are the expectations, and where are the results? And there is a lot of work done to sort of modulate those expectations. And people have expected Donald Trump to win Iowa.
Right.
And right now, and we're sort of at one-third of the precincts reporting on the Republican side, more on the Democrat side, I think. But with the one-third reporting, you're seeing Ted Cruz actually demonstrate his own political viability.
Dave, what do you say on the Democratic side? I mean, the lead's back up for Hillary Clinton, but still a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, the lead for Hillary is about 3% right now with almost half the vote in. I mean, that's meaningful, but mm-hmm. half the vote, you don't know where it's coming from. I can't tell you right now. There's some counties that are more likely, you know, have all the college counties reported. Because one of the phenomena that people were looking at for in tonight's election was, did you have overrepresentation of the Bernie voters in the college towns? If you did and you don't have them, because people vote based on that, you get a delegate per precinct.
Right.
And if you have too many voters in one precinct, it doesn't help you at all. So the question was, is Hillary better organized and therefore going to be better throughout the state and not just narrowly?
It's the Iowa Caucus Raucous with Andrea Dahlis.
Yeah, there we go. There's the Iowa. She's got her own, the Iowa Caucus Raucous. Let's check in with Andrea Dahlis from the Steve Cochran Show and WGN Radio News. She's out in Des Moines caucusing tonight. Andrea, can you hear us?
Hey, Justin. Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. So
hey,
tell us, a long day for you. I was listening to you this morning to talk about the day and what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, this morning I was actually out and about in the streets of Des Moines. I was interviewing just different people who were going to caucus. I interviewed a guy selling campaign yarmulkes, which that was kind of the highlight of my day. This guy was hilarious. He had all the candidates sign yarmulkes, and he was selling red and blue, you know, Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, and it was very cool. He gave me a couple of Marco Rubios to take back, so I have those as some swag.
Good.
But that's what I was doing this morning. And tonight, you know, I have to be honest, this is the first time I've ever covered the Iowa caucuses, and it's just amazing. It's awesome to go through, and, you know, that's what I've been doing all night long. We went to a Republican one. We went to a Democratic caucus, which I think was a little more lively and spirited. I was in a room at the Iowa State Historical Museum, where they have all kinds of, you know, history about the caucuses and history about Iowa in general. And I was in this particular room, and it was really between the Hillary and the Bernie supporters, and they were going back and forth. And one girl stood on a chair saying, you know, Hillary is a revolution. And then the other girl got on the chair and said, Bernie stands up and he votes what he wants to vote. But just witnessing this was so cool, because we're so used to, you know, going to the voting booth, and everybody should be voting, by the way, but going to the voting booth and then, you know, picking your candidate, where this, you know, watching people trying to woo people to the other side really is just kind of cool to watch. I've never seen anything like this.
Hey, Andrea, it's Dave Lundy. I'm curious, how effective was the wooing? Because that's one of the things we just talked about is how the Clinton people and the Sanders people have to be wooing the O'Malley voters right now.
You know, that's a great question. This was a Hillary and a Bernie woo-off, if you will. The Hillary group won, but they were wooing one supporter. So Hillary won that room. You know, and there were six caucuses in the museum, three Democrat, three Republican. The Democrats were on the first floor. The Republicans were on the third floor. So everybody was kind of running back and forth between. But watching the process of registering everyone was very cool, too, because people can just walk up and say, I'm not even registered. What do you want to do, Republican or Democrat? Well, I'll do Democrat. And then they can just – it's just the process is so interesting to watch. And, of course, you know, they have Hillary bottles of water and Bernie magnets. You know, they're trying to entice people with different swag, for lack of a better word.
The trinket and bead operation is in full force out there. Andrea, this is Chris Roebling. And
hi
there. And I want to ask you, we now have 25%. One out of every four precincts are reporting on the Republican side. Ted Cruz seems to be holding on to a 3-point lead over Donald Trump. Has that been tipped off in the last couple of days since you got out there?
How about that? Yeah, everything I have seen so far has been Trump being in the lead. You know, Trump
really?
Having 12,000 people at his rally yesterday. It's really, I've come across, actually, the person that I interviewed who supported Ted Cruz was his chief strategist. So I interviewed him a little earlier in the day, and they said, we're not scared of Donald Trump. Well, that's a great indication, too, because of the numbers that are coming through right now.
Sure.
But it was interesting, because when I was interviewing folks there was a lot of Bernie supporters, of mainly, yeah, a lot of millennials, but they kind of ran the gamut from, say, maybe in their 20s to maybe mid to late 40s, I would say, were a lot of people that I interviewed. And the one voter who I was talking to, she said, "I'm voting for Bernie." She said, "Probably because it's going to be my only chance to vote for Bernie. I think Hillary's going to win, and I'm fine with that, but I'm going to try and vote for Bernie." So it seems as though a lot of people I talked to were okay with Bernie, you know, with Hillary winning, as long as they could get their vote in for Bernie.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, do you plan at all to sleep? Because you guys are back on with the show tomorrow morning. I mean, how long is the night going to go for you guys?
Well, I think we're going to stay for a little bit longer. Some wrap up very quickly. You know, the two Democratic caucuses that I was sitting in, wrapped up. One wrapped up immediately. The other went on for a little bit. That was the one I was telling you guys with the Hillary supporter and the Bernie supporter. The Republican room that I was in got a little bit more contentious, and that seemed to go on a little bit longer. So that might carry on into the evening. We're not going to stay all night because we have to get up for the morning show tomorrow and then eventually drive back, apparently in a blizzard. So.
Oh, man.
yeah, you're going to have some fun tomorrow on I-80, I can
tell.
Well,
is it snowing yet?
God. Is it snowing there yet?
No. You know, it's funny because today it was a beautiful day in Des Moines. The sun was out. You know, temperatures were in the 40s. Tomorrow I think it's going to be a much different story. But no, there's no snow here at all. It's just a clear night here.
Andrea Darlis, who's covering the caucuses for WGN Radio and also will be with the Steve Cochran Show in the morning, which broadcasts live from Des Moines. Andrea, keep up the good work and get some sleep, okay?
All right, you guys. Sounds good. We'll keep you posted on those results.
It's the official start to the 2016 presidential race for the White House. We'll have all the results coming out of Iowa. It's a special election coverage of the Iowa caucuses. Nobody covers 2016 like 720. I'm Justin Kaufman here with Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy as we break down the results. You know, precincts are reporting on the Democratic side. You're up over 60%. You're starting to get a better, clearer picture of the victor here in the race. But right now, Hillary Clinton leading by about 3 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't say victor yet. It's a little...
you're sweating there, Dave.
Been down this road before.
Eight years ago,
I was caucusing for Hillary in Iowa, and not voting, mind you, just working the caucuses. I just want to be clear. Nobody calls and charges me with election fraud.
They don't really care in Iowa.
No, they really don't. But I was driving home from the caucus I had worked, and they call the race for Barack, and I'm listening to that on the radio, and I'm listening to Barack give just an amazing speech. That was one of his finest speeches, was the night of the Iowa caucuses. And I'm like, okay, I think Hillary's got a serious problem. Tonight looks, you know.
Hillary's got another problem.
You think she does, Chris?
Well, it's a heck of a lot closer than it was supposed to be. I mean, this was supposed to be winning it in a walk for Hillary Clinton.
Whoa. According to who?
I mean, Hillary has been the inevitable candidate for the last 7.5 years.
Now, note expectations changing by our friend Chris Roebling.
Well, she is the front runner and she is the presumptive nominee. And she is within, what, 3 points?
Yeah, and a week ago, people said that Bernie Sanders was going to win this thing in a walk. So the fact that she has come back from that, she's fought back from that. If she hangs on to win tonight and deprives Bernie Sanders of a win, he absolutely must have. It's going to be a real problem for him.
Well, it's we heard Pat Brady was talking about it on Ro Khan that if Bernie Sanders can't pull out Iowa, it's pretty much over for him.
I don't know that that's – I mean, you don't know what's going to happen to the campaign. I believe that Hillary will be indicted and is going to be going to prison during the pendency
on,
of this
man.
Campaign. No, and
Chris
well,
is nothing
well
if not consistent.
Should. And yeah, I want to tell you, who knows? Bernie might actually end up beating Elizabeth Warren. Now, on the Republican side, I want to say – on the turnout, I haven't been watching the turnout numbers for the Democrats, but for the Republicans, we've got about 40% of the precincts reporting. And at the current level of voting, it looks like we would go maybe 30 or 40,000 votes over the highest number of turnout ever recorded in Iowa for Republicans.
So you're looking at 150?
Wow.
We're looking at about 150,000. So we've got, at 40% of the precincts, we've got about 60,000 votes.
Who does that help?
Well, it was supposed to help Trump.
It was
in
supposed
fact,
to
help. When you looked at the modeling that was done before this by the pollsters, they did models of these results at 135, at 150. And the expectation was that if you hit 150,000, Trump was going to win in a walk.
Right.
And that, by the way, that was their expectation, not mine. I've been pretty
CNN.
Consistent that I know.
CNN
well,
was
let
saying
me ask
that
you,
two
I mean,
hours ago.
You know, right now it looks, just looking at it, I mean, you know, there's about half, 50% reporting in Iowa, and Ted Cruz has about 29% of the vote, Trump about 25. Marco Rubio, 21%.
Yeah.
He is gaining, the percentage, he is gaining. He's 4 points behind Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's creeping up on the Donald.
Okay, so let's just talk about this for a quick second. Donald Trump was way out ahead. Cruz was sort of second fiddle, and Rubio was the next guy, but he was back 6 or 7 mm-hmm. points. Okay. You get up to this debate debacle for Trump, and Trump says, I'm not going to go to the debate. So he takes himself out. He gives everybody else an opportunity to be heard. Cruz is very well organized, doesn't have the greatest debate night, but not the worst debate night. But Rubio wins the debate, is widely thought of as having won mm-hmm. the debate. And that starts some momentum for Rubio, which appears to be bringing him within striking distance of Donald Trump.
Well, you know, I said at the beginning, and maybe it still stands. I said maybe it's not about who comes in first. Maybe it's who comes in second, because, you know, we thought it would be Trump in first and who's second. But
no,
if Senator Rubio can get ahead of Donald Trump, that's a huge play. And
well, we're not there yet.
We're not there. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, but what's fascinating about this, and you know, Chris and I, as you know, and as your listeners know, don't agree on a lot politically.
No.
But when it came when it came to the move that Donald Trump made and skipping it and then being so arrogant and saying, oh, poor Megyn Kelly, she's being mean to me.
Right.
You know, I didn't think that was going to play well
in
Iowa.
I'm going to make America great as long as Megyn does not get in the way.
Well, let's start. You know what? You know, a lot of what we're doing tonight is how it affects us here in Illinois. Obviously, this is great news tonight, the surprise showing of Senator Marco Rubio for Congressman Darren LaHood. He represents the 18th District in Central Illinois. He's also the co-chair of the Marco Rubio campaign in Illinois.
Is he joining us?
He is joining us.
Hey there, Congressman.
Congressman LaHood, thanks
new
for joining
congressperson
us.
Congressperson thing.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you and your listeners.
So let's talk about this. I mean, are you surprised as the co-chair of the campaign here in Illinois?
You know what? We've been on the ground in Iowa for the last week, and we saw the momentum building after Marco's debate performance last week and over the weekend. I mean, the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger and a lot more momentum. I mean, all of our headquarters were packed with a lot of young people and a lot of excitement. And, you know, what this shows is it's definitely a three-person race now. You know, to get – I mean, his numbers are up at 21-22% now in Iowa, and you know, I think it's reflective of, you know, Marco is the only one that has really talked in kind of a hopeful, aspirational, you know, a way about being a conservative and about being a Republican. And we've seen it building. And I don't know if you saw tonight, Senator Tim Scott in South Carolina endorsed Marco Rubio. That's a huge thing going into South Carolina.
Yeah.
And so we're thrilled.
So, Congressman, this is Chris Roebling, and I want to ask you, why has Marco Rubio surged in these last 4 days? What are some specifics about either the debate or his person-to-person appeal as he's going around the state of Iowa that you've witnessed?
Yeah, I would tell you a couple things. There's two main reasons, I think. He is somebody that is a principled conservative, but he talks about it in a very aspirational, kind of hopeful, optimistic way. Not like Ted Cruz or Trump. I mean, he is very optimistic about the future. And I think that transcends a lot of this, and that's one thing I've seen in terms of people gravitating towards him. I think the second thing is, you know, as a father of three kids and having a wife, national security is the most important issue in this election. And if you hear Marco talk about his national security plan, talking about none of our rights in this country matter unless you have a secure country, unless you have public safety at the top. And he's put a lot of focus on that and talked about it in, not just in a you know, just kind of on a surface level, but talks about specifics on how we keep the country safe. And I think on those two levels, his tone has really transcended on those issues, and that's where you're seeing a ton of support.
Congressman, how do you keep the momentum going? I mean, obviously the state of Illinois' primary is not till the middle of March. What can you do to keep it going, or what can you seize upon in Iowa to gain momentum here in Illinois?
Yeah, great question. So March 15th is our primary date. We have a great slate of delegates throughout the state of Illinois, grassroots people, some elected officials, but lots of people that are really excited about Marco. I'm going to be doing basically 19 Lincoln Day dinners over the next month here. Every one of them, I'm going to be talking about Marco Rubio. We're going to have Marco in Illinois at least two or three times. And so
I'm going to tell you, Congressman, you have got to get Marco Rubio to the City Club of Chicago. He has got to come to downtown Chicago. He has got to speak at the City Club. We had Donald Trump. We want Marco Rubio.
I will take that request to the campaign.
I'm telling you, man. You might be a congressman, but we're talking straight with you right now.
It's
on
the Roebling. It's the Roebling. He's insisting, so it's got to be
true. We want Rubio at the City Club.
Well, Chris, if I have anything to say with it, I will make sure that he gets there. I'll talk to the campaign tonight about getting him there.
Fabulous.
Message delivered.
You are the guy.
Congressman LaHood, I know you got to scoot along. Thank you so much for taking some time. You're co-chair of the Marco Rubio campaign here in Illinois. We appreciate you taking some time out to talk about Rubio's great showing tonight in Iowa.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's true. I mean,
this is why it's so great to hear from the folks.
That's right.
You know, I mean, if you just listen to the pundits, you just listen to all the blow-dried people, right?
Right.
And none of us are blow-dried because we're all bald.
All right, let's keep going. Let's continue the trend of talking to people involved in some of the Illinois campaigns. Let's move along to Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who represents the 16th. He's part of the Illinois campaign supporting Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush did not have a great showing tonight. He's still in single digits, but you kind of knew that, didn't you, Congressman?
What? Wait, hold on. 3% is not a great night? I'm shocked.
2.7.
No.
2.75. Yeah, no, who's counting?
We knew from the very beginning this was, you know, Iowa was going to be tough. In fact, there are a lot of people saying Jeb shouldn't even go to Iowa, just stick in New Hampshire. And you know what? Look, the pundits are going to make a decision as to whether he should have or shouldn't have gone. But when all said and done, I mean, and this is the governor himself that basically said, I want to compete everywhere for every vote. So, you know, look, we are, if you look at the polls in New Hampshire, it's really within a point for second place among about three or four guys.
Oh, yeah.
The governor's there right now doing town hall meetings. So let's see how New Hampshire turns out in a week. And New Hampshire always rejects Iowa. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out.
So what are you looking for out of New Hampshire? What will you guys define as a win?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, I thought personally that Trump was going to win tonight in Iowa. And so I assumed that he was probably going to win in New Hampshire. And so the real question was who comes in second and third. Trump losing tonight, if in fact he does. By the way, Cruz is pretty decently behind in New Hampshire. I can't see New Hampshire giving him a bump from Iowa, but I can see New Hampshire penalizing Trump for Iowa. So the question is, does he take a hit in Iowa, and who benefits? I think, you know, it could be somebody like a Jeb Bush that benefits. It frankly could be a Marco Rubio that benefits from it. So I think in the next 6 or 7 days, New Hampshire is a scramble. I think I think you may see a complete swap in front runners. And, you know, look, I'm sure Ted Cruz is celebrating tonight, but I think at the end of the day, he doesn't end up being the nominee.
Congressman, this is Chris Roebling. I want to ask you,
Chris.
Hi there. It's good to be in touch. Why did you choose to endorse Governor Bush? What was it about Jeb Bush that drew you to him as opposed to, you know, you going to Marco or Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or something?
Well, look, I endorsed Jeb about a year ago, actually. I was before, like, frankly, anybody. So it's a good thing he ran or had to look pretty stupid. but part of the reason is, you know, he said this a year ago. He goes, look, I'm going to be the same guy in the primary that I'm going to be in the general election. I respect that. I truthfully get sick of politicians that are one person in front of one audience and another person in front of the other. Just be yourself. And frankly, if you don't win, fine. At least you can look in the mirror and say that you were who you were. You know, look, Ted Cruz, I mean, to be quite honest with you, he does a great job of going out and saying that the reason nobody in Washington likes him is because we're all part of the establishment. He's shaking up the establishment. That's not true. People in Washington don't like Ted Cruz because we know him. And we frankly know that he...
Because you work with
we
him?
We know that he is one guy in front of one audience and the other guy in front of another.
To
and
know him is to hate him.
That's right. And, so... I just respect the fact that Jeb's been pretty straightforward with who he is.
Congressman, let me just ask you. I mean, I just asked Congressman LaHood this. What do you do to prepare for Illinois off a showing like this? I mean, you know, obviously you knew going into Iowa that it wasn't going to be a win. You know, a lot of people are saying maybe, you know, Governor Bush shouldn't even campaign in Iowa. What do you do to get the faithful in Illinois energized after a showing like this tonight?
Well, you're not going to get them energized if they're showing tonight. But, look, literally 7 days away is New Hampshire. Let's see how he does in New Hampshire. And then shortly after that, South Carolina. I've actually campaigned for the governor in South Carolina. A strong veteran community, and the governors have, I think, 13 Medal of Honor recipients that have endorsed him. I campaigned with two of them and the governor in Iowa. So veterans react very well to Governor Bush because just the way he talks. You know, he speaks about foreign policy in depth. It's not in sound bites. And that's South Carolina. So I think, look, you're going to have the next two elections. You're going to have New Hampshire, where I think the governor gets momentum, I hope, and South Carolina, where he does the same. And then you're starting to really deal with what does Illinois look like, because we're still about a month and a half away here.
Congressman Kinzinger represents the 16th District. He's part of the Illinois campaign supporting Governor Jeb Bush. Congressman, thanks for taking some time out tonight.
Yeah, of course, guys. Take care. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
Great to have you.
Take care.
All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get you updated on all the results happening in Iowa as the precincts continue to report. Is it getting closer for some? Others, it's
Marco Rubio. Going up.
We'll have more here with special coverage on WGN Radio. Stay with us. Special election coverage of the Iowa caucus is here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Nobody covers 2016. Like 720. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling in studio with me, my guests every Monday, segment we call Touche. And Rob Martier is here. Rob, you got the latest on the numbers?
I do indeed. Things progressing quickly on the Republican side right now. 75% reporting. And don't look now, but Marco Rubio is within striking distance of frontrunner Ted Cruz. Rubio is at 22%.
What?
Cruz still maintains his lead at 28%. In between those two senators, Donald Trump at 25%.
Wow.
Yeah, on the Democratic side, 63% reporting right now. And it's still a 2 percentage point margin between Hillary Clinton at 51% and Bernie Sanders at 49%.
Wow. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for that. Wow. Because you guys, it seems like the more surprising story is on the Republican side, but still tight on the Democratic side. I mean, right now, the Hillary Clinton rally, quote unquote, rally is about to begin in Des Moines. I know we're going to have people there. We're going to talk coming up after the 9 o'clock news. But I mean, it's far from
over. I was going to go to that. But I lost my email. It was deleted.
Is that right?
My email was deleted.
Deleted email. Oh,
ouch. I was one of the 33,000.
It's okay. I hacked it, so I've already got yours.
Oh, thanks so much.
Well, let's talk about let's continue quickly on the Republican side, and then we'll transition to the Republicans or to the Democrats. But you heard Rob. I mean, it's now under 3 points.
It's almost Rubio a horse race. David Lundy just pointed out. He did the math over here with a pencil that Rubio is closer to Trump than Trump is to Cruz. And we are at, you know, we're getting close to a complete result. But this is extraordinary because Trump was ahead for so long and had an expectation of winning. Mm-hmm. Now, Cruz then got organized with the evangelicals, especially in Western Iowa. And they like to come out. They are very reliable and they're very dedicated caucus goers.
Well, you just heard Congressman Kinzinger talk about good luck. You know, good luck, Senator Cruz, when it comes to New Hampshire. Enjoy your shallow win here in Iowa if he continues to win. Do you agree with that?
I think it's always better to hear the voters. Ted Cruz has been up close and personal in Iowa for a year, and he is winning tonight. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there are a lot of people who have a visceral reaction to Ted Cruz. They see him on TV or they hear him at a debate.
See him hugging his daughter.
And they don't. They don't like the guy. Right, right. He doesn't have this big likability factor, but he's winning tonight. Now, we're only talking about he's garnering 31,000 votes so far, something like that. But I mean, you got to give it to him.
Well, and it's worth talking about the fact that that the last two winners of the Iowa caucus, Rick Santorum has 1% tonight and Mike Huckabee has 1.7% tonight. But here's the big news. The big news tonight is Jim Gilmore has broken into double digits. He has 10 votes.
He's got 10 votes.
It's time for these guys at the bottom of the ticket to go bye-bye.
Well, let me ask you that, you guys. I mean, are you going to see some people after Iowa say, you know what, I can't even wait to New Hampshire. I declare.
Well, I think there are folks, there are two phases. You've got the Huckabees and the Santorums, maybe Carly Fiorina. I'd hate to see her go. But you've got folks who have got to sort of listen to what the voters are telling them. Jim Gilmore, for instance. And then you've got others who have another shot and a shot out in a place like New Hampshire. Chris Christie is a Northeastern Republican, mm-hmm. and that's his kind of stomping grounds. John Kasich from Ohio, maybe a better candidate for New Hampshire than Iowa. And so you've still got some fluidity in the group.
Here's what we're going to do. That's Chris Roebling. Dave Lundy's here as well. We'll take a break, and we're going to get to Rob to update us with all the latest numbers. And when we come back from the news, let's get on the Democrat side. I mean, a very close race between Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders. I mean, right now it's under two. I mean, I think there's 63% of the vote is in, and it's 2 points. I mean, that's closer than I think Secretary Clinton wants it to be. We'll come back and we'll talk about that race and continue to monitor the rise of Marco Rubio, who is hard charging with 67% of the vote.
22% he now has.
He has 22%. We'll talk more here. Special election coverage of the Iowa caucuses here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. It's special election coverage here of the Iowa caucuses. News, Dave, news coming out. This is, I guess it's not surprising, but it's surprising.
Yeah, Martin O'Malley has just announced he's suspending his campaign.
Okay.
I mean, his showing tonight in Iowa is pathetic. It's 0.56% at the moment.
Not surprising, though.
No,
I mean, no one had him on the board to do anything in Iowa. Right?
No, but I mean, he had been polling at like 3-4% pretty consistently.
Right.
And I think that because of how the caucuses are done in Iowa, you know, he's coming in. I don't think he's going to get any delegates. And so he is suspended the campaign. And now we'll see if on the Republican side, you get Huckabee, Santorum, Gilmore.
Tonight making
it's
the call.
Time
tonight.
For these guys to go.
I think we have to say, Marty, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah, there you go. This is Chicago's very
own. I'm sorry to Eli, my son. He was really hoping
was
for Martin O'Malley.
Hey, it's special election coverage here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests tonight in studio with us, Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling. Talking about both sides of the aisle, the caucuses in Iowa. Tighter than we might have thought. As we're looking at the numbers, 80% of the precincts reporting on the Democratic side, 50.3% for Hillary Clinton, 49.1% for Senator Bernie Sanders. Dave, are you surprised?
You know, I going into today, my prediction was that Hillary just needed to win by one vote to upset expectations. I did not expect that actually to occur, but if it does, I'm okay with that. I'm not surprised. Bernie Sanders definitely has had some great strength in Iowa. I think that what's more surprising, clearly the most surprising things of the night are Donald Trump doing a lot worse, way worse than expected by Donald Trump, and Marco Rubio doing way better than expected.
Well, on that side, you got 70% of the precincts reporting, Cruz with 27.9%, Trump with 24.7%, and Marco Rubio with 22.4% of the vote. So
Rubio is closer to Trump than Trump is to Cruz.
There you go.
And so Trump is below where he was supposed to be. Cruz is above where he's and Rubio is above. So this is a very unexpected result.
Betcha Donald Trump doesn't skip any more debates.
Well, you know, the rallies are starting. This is the fun part of election night is when the candidates get their crew together and they get ready for their speech. And that's starting. Let's go out to Iowa, Des Moines. J.B. Pritzker is a venture capitalist and a top fundraiser for Secretary Clinton. Pritzker was a co-chair for the Clinton campaign back in 2008, and he joins us now. Mr. Pritzker, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So what do you think of the results so far? Hanging tight, but was this a surprise for you guys?
Well, I think the surprising thing was, 2 weeks ago, I think everybody said,
Hillary Clinton was going to lose Iowa. So the fact that she is holding on to a lead here and I think will come out the victor is a big win. I think Dave Lundy said it a little earlier. I think a one vote, a one delegate win for Hillary is a huge win for the campaign. And frankly, it reminds me that she's a fighter. You know, when things get down, she gets tough. She hunkers down and plows through and gets the job done. I saw her last night, by the way, and I must say she looked relaxed. She looked happy. Things are well organized on the ground here in Iowa. And I would say it's a big turnaround from 2008.
Yeah, JB, you and I were out there in 2008. Feels a little bit better tonight, doesn't it?
It sure does. And remember that there are a lot of single-issue voters that end up coming to Iowa caucuses. You got to be pretty riled up to show up at a caucus. Very few people participate in caucuses. And so you've got to be really well organized on the ground, or you've got to have a lot of single-issue, revved up, individual voters. And I would say today what I saw on the ground, and I worked two precincts for Hillary Clinton, good old-fashioned door knocking, and it was, the volunteer areas were extraordinarily well run. We covered every single precinct. We ran out of literature because at 5:15, exactly when you want to run out of literature, and it just felt like a well-oiled machine.
JB, it's Chris Roebling, and I want to ask you, how did she come back? I mean, you make the point that about 10 days ago, we even had Dick Durbin being interviewed, I think, by national reporters saying, well, she could conceivably lose in Iowa, lose in New Hampshire, but still go on and get the nomination. How did she put it back together to apparently eke out this 1% or 2% victory?
So far, yeah.
Yeah, so I will say, first, she is, if nothing else, Hillary Clinton is a person who is well organized. And so that really came through on the ground here. That's one reason that the campaign did so well. I think the other is there was a realization, and I found this door to door, even when I talked to some Bernie Sanders supporters face to face, that some of them were just, it's a protest vote for Bernie. They don't actually think that he could be the Democratic nominee. They just wanted to sort of send a message to Washington in general. They're not all that revved up about Bernie being the Democratic nominee. And most of them said that they would support Hillary Clinton in the general election. And there were a number of people, by the way, who said, I'm not going to go out and caucus tonight, but I'm for her. And I'm for her in the general election, and I'll show up. And you see that in the numbers. I mean, Iowa caucuses get very few voters out. The general election, you'll see a heck of a lot more. And I think, by the way, when we move into some of the primaries in the South and then into the into Super Tuesday, I think you'll see in primaries, Hillary Clinton, as she did in 2008, will do extraordinarily well. But this time she's also well organized in caucus state.
You know, we talked about it. We had pundits earlier in the show and earlier in the day here on WGN saying that if Senator Sanders couldn't pull out a victory in Iowa, that the road gets much more difficult. And pretty much he's not going to win. Do you have the same sort of feeling being part of the Clinton camp that he needed to win this? And now you guys are sort of in the driver's seat.
Well, I definitely think that Senator Sanders, needs to win something other than his neighboring state of New Hampshire. If assuming everything remains as it is in Iowa, I think it'll be pretty disappointing for him. And as you look forward, I think everybody that looks at the map going forward would say that the voters coming up in Nevada, in South Carolina, and in the SEC primary are much more attuned with Hillary Clinton than Bernie Sanders.
J.B. Pritzker is a venture capitalist and a top fundraiser for Secretary Clinton. Pritzker was a co-chair for the Clinton campaign in 2008. He joins us from Des Moines. J.B., thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
There you go. You hear it there. I mean, as we were talking, though,
right.
And I don't know if there's enough left in the tank with the only, 18% of the precincts left to report. Bernie Sanders picked up 0.2 two on the points. I think he moved within 1 point. I mean, this is not necessarily a done deal.
No, it's not a done deal. Look, Hillary is up by 1 point. 1.17%, and there's 19% left to go. This could go either way still. There's a 0.5% out there for O'Malley. We don't know how that dynamic is playing itself out. What's more interesting is on the Republican side, we're up to 81% in,
right,
and Marco Rubio is within 1.5% of the Donald.
He's 1.5% away from edging out Donald Trump.
I have never wanted to hear a concession speech more than I've wanted to hear Donald Trump give that concession
speech. I'm not sure he will give one.
I don't think he does. He doesn't do concession.
Right.
Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and then we come back. We'll talk with Steve Edwards, who's in Iowa, who's at the Clinton rally. Which is about to begin. We'll talk with Steve, who's with the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics. When we come back, special coverage of the Iowa caucuses here on The Download on WGN. Stay with us. It's special coverage of the Iowa caucuses. Results coming in. Precincts are reporting. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling in studio with me. 312-981-7200. Lots to come. Governor Jim Edgar going to join us. We're also going to talk with Alderman Sedlowski Garza about the Bernie Sanders camp. Bernie Sanders right now 1 point behind Hillary Clinton with about 81% of the precincts reporting on the Republican side. You've got Ted Cruz with a sizable 2 point, 2.5 point lead with about only 70% of the precincts reporting. But the big story there, Donald Trump with 24%. Breaking news out of CNN. What are they saying? You want to go? Yeah, Mark Tier's got the numbers.
Yeah, Justin, Tier, actually, there a couple of outlets right now are projecting with 99% of the votes in that Ted Cruz will take Iowa.
There
he's at 28% right now. The Donald at 24, Marco Rubio, a strong showing at 23%.
So they're saying that the outlets are saying that Senator Cruz is the winner in Iowa.
That is correct.
Thank you, Rob.
That has to be counted as an upset. That is one might say, a stunning upset, because Cruz certainly doesn't have the money that Trump has. And Trump has just dominated the media for the last 6 months,
wow.
Six, 7 months.
Maybe Donald should actually listen to people instead of just deciding how to do this himself. I swear to God, we knew that sooner or later this was going to catch up with him. And that debate debacle, from my perspective, was a
right.
debacle.
Right.
And people of Iowa do not like being taken for granted.
Right. And they do like organization. And organization pays dividends. And I think what you're seeing here is organization behind Cruz. And that is to say, his supporters got down to the nitty and the gritty of saying who's going to which caucus, who's going to put the name in nomination, who's going to speak on behalf, et cetera, all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Very important. And Marco Rubio was able to put something together very late. Rubio did not peak too early.
Well, we're going to talk. We got a lot to talk about on the Republican side, and also we'll have speeches coming up, both on the victory and I'm hoping concession, although I can see the jet
Trump
taking off.
I think Trump's concession speech is going to be, this is the greatest loss
yeah.
ever.
Well,
let's
talk about the Democratic side, because right now, 0.8 now. It's under 1 point, Clinton.
It's
a nail biter. 84% of the precincts reporting. Let's go to Steve Edwards. Steve Edwards is the executive director of the Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago, and he's at the Clinton rally in Des Moines. Steve, thanks for joining us tonight.
Gentlemen, can I just say touche? It's so great to be with you.
So, Steve, let's talk about this. I mean, is the feel at the Hillary camp that they've won this? I mean, because as we see, the lead continues to shrink.
Yeah, you know, the mood here is actually very, very upbeat right now. I'm actually standing right outside. There is a line that stretches through the entire Drake campus. People are pumped. They're energized. There's no sense of this is a loss or this is too close. I'm quite the contrary right now.
Hey, Steve, this is a pretty exciting result on the Republican side. Have you heard whether the Donald is going to be coming out soon to confess his sins?
You know, we haven't yet, but we have a bunch of students and a colleague of mine, a former ABC News journalist, who's headed over to Trump right now. So just before we came on, I was trying to text with him, and they have no word yet that he's coming out. But I will say, you know, I was hearing you guys talk just before you came to me, and I was at a caucus tonight, a location that had both Democrats and Republicans caucusing, which is actually very rare. And in this Republican caucus, you know, it's sort of a hot mess, and it's also, like, so totally inspiring to watch. A number of people stand up to speak for candidates. You have somebody stand up and speak for Ted Cruz. Somebody speaks for Marco Rubio. These are just average citizens trying to convince the others that they should cast a vote for their candidate. And at the end, we get around alphabetically to Trump, and a guy stands up, and he begins with what you think is going to be a total home run speech. He ends by saying, and that's why all of us here tonight should vote for Donald Trump. Are you with me? Are you with me? It was the most powerful speech of the night. Ends with a rhetorical question, and there is dead silence. And then there's like a smatter, and then there's a smattering of no's in the room. And at the end of the tally, Ted Cruz walked out with 39 of the 62 votes, and the next two finishers were Trump with 13 and Rubio with 12. And this is one caucus in one part of the state, unrepresentative of anything, except for the fact that in some respects it mirrors what we're seeing playing out right now statewide.
And are you hearing anything out there, Steve, about it? Was there resentment relative to this debate issue and not showing up at the debate? Or was there just some sort of profound disconnect that wasn't really picked up by the national polls? What was it?
Well, I think it's two things. I think you were talking about it earlier. You know, Ted Cruz and his entire campaign spent a ton of time organizing in every corner of this state. They had a robust operation, used the evangelical community, used church ministers. They knew exactly what they were doing tonight. The Trump campaign had the fly-in, fly-out, big media splash, but really I think you could divide the Trump votership into really three categories. Those who were steadfast for him, who were going to caucus for Republicans. Then you had a middle group who were independents and others, maybe light-leaning Republicans who were drawn in by his message, but maybe not as diehard caucus goers. I mean, remember, this is a state where you have 3 million voters. The record number of Iowans right. who've caucused for the GOP is 122,000.
They're well
over
that.
A very small fraction.
Right.
Yeah. And the third vote is the spectacle crowd, the people who were interested in what was going on, wanted to sort of just see this whole thing play out. And I think it's that bottom in particular and part of the middle that he's just not seeing pull through for him tonight.
Well, Steve, it sounds like we might have to check back with you because the rally is obviously going to be a hot spot here. We're going to stay on the air till 11 o'clock tonight.
It's less than a point.
I know. As we were talking, it actually shrunk to 0.7.
Landslide Hillary. So,
the one vote victory I was hoping for? I was kidding. I was being facetious.
Steve's the executive director of the Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago. He's at the rally for Hillary Clinton in Des Moines. Steve, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay. See you, Steve.
Wow, 84% precincts reporting on the Democratic side in the Iowa Democratic caucuses. Hillary Clinton with 49.9%. Bernie Sanders with 49.4%.
Holy
That's
smokes.
A 0.5.
This is really an amazing
wow.
evening.
Wow.
This is an amazing evening.
The record turnout, the upset from Ted Cruz. And obviously, too close to call. CNN has got the podiums on display now for all the candidates. The speech is going to start coming in. But you know what? Let's get to Rob. Rob, Dave, you got something?
I got a piece of news here.
What do you got?
Mike Huckabee is gone.
Mike Huckabee.
Iowa winner from two elections ago. I expect Rick Santorum to announce he's dropping any... Oh, wait, what was that? No, not yet.
Before we take a look at sports, we're going to check in with Senator Marco Rubio, who tonight had a very strong showing, finishing third in the Iowa caucuses with 23% of the vote. Let's listen in.
It is a referendum on our identity as a nation and as a people. In America, there are only two ways forward for us now. We can either be greater than we've ever been, or we can be a great nation in decline. If Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton get elected, if they were to win, we will be a great nation in decline. If they win, Obamacare becomes permanent. If they win, these unconstitutional executive orders from this president become permanent. If they win, our military continues to decline. And if they win, the balance of our Supreme Court will be controlled by liberal justices for over a decade or longer. They cannot win. Hillary Clinton is disqualified from being the President of the United States. Because she stored classified and sensitive information on her email server because she thinks she's above the law. And Hillary Clinton can never be Commander-in-Chief. Because anyone who lies to the families of people who have lost their lives in the service of this country can never be Commander-in-Chief of the United States.
That's Senator Marco Rubio again speaking live after a very strong showing in the Iowa caucuses tonight. Again, Ted Cruz is the winner, 28% of the vote for the Texas senator, 24 going to Donald Trump, and Marco Rubio with 23% of the vote. And now it's on to New Hampshire, where their primaries will go next week.
Special coverage of the Iowa caucuses tonight on WGN Radio. To download, I'm Justin Coffin. My guests in studio, Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. 312-981-7200, the number to call or text. What you think of the results? The results on the Republican side are definite. Senator Ted Cruz wins Iowa, 28% of the vote. Donald Trump comes in second place. But the story really is Senator Rubio, who comes in a tight third, about one percentage point behind the Donald. We've been saying, what a night, an amazing night. And it gets even better for us here on WGN Radio, because we bring in our next guest, the former governor of Illinois, Jim Edgar. Governor Edgar, thanks for joining us on the download tonight.
Nice to be with you.
So what are you surprised by the results that Senator Cruz wins Iowa?
No, I thought he would win. I thought there was a good chance he would win, because I wasn't sure that the Trump voters would show up at the caucus. Now, if I'd have known there was going to be that big a turnout, I might have thought, he's going to win. If it had been the average turnout, I think Cruz would have won probably, by about 8-10%. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't. Now, the Democratic side, I thought Secretary Clinton would win, because this is get out your vote. And, I think she has an organization. I didn't think Sanders had that much of an organization, as Trump didn't. But that somewhat amazes me.
Yeah,
if that's close, I think that does not bode well for Secretary Clinton. On the Republican side, I think it also does not bode well for Donald Trump. Now, this is a caucus. This isn't a primary. It's a whole different ballgame, and I think we put way too much into this. But it still is an indication that what it comes down to, a lot of people at the last minute apparently switched from Trump to Rubio. They just weren't real sure about Trump. And New Hampshire and South Carolina, I think, will be a much better indicator how this is going to go. But this does give you some sense maybe what might be going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm.
Governor Edgar, this is Chris Roebling, and I want to ask you about Marco Rubio. What do you think distinguished him? What got him up to, the third position, and a very close third position? I think right now he's less than a point and a half behind Donald Trump.
Right. Well, I think in the last few weeks, at least the media I saw, and I wasn't in Iowa, I was watching more of the national media, but it was all about the three of them. I mean, there was the other candidates were completely ignored. So it was about those three, and I think Rubio was the new guy. I mean, because they had been talking about Cruz, they had been talking about Trump, and I think he was the new guy on the street. And I think Governor Christie pointed this out the other night after the debate. Nobody ever attacks Rubio. Everybody else gets up there, they get attacked. It's going to be interesting to see. I think we're going to have a debate coming this Saturday.
Yeah, right.
The Republicans. It'll be it. I'm sure everybody will be after, particularly Cruz, who already was kind of after Rubio. But Trump, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he does once you're kind of in the spotlight. Even though he finished third, he's going to be more in the spotlight than he has been, as far as, people I think are going to come after him. And so, but he did much better than expected, and that gives you momentum. And a lot of this is all perception, you're going through these primaries, and, he's got the momentum. Now, Cruz, I don't think, has the organization in New Hampshire like he had in Iowa. I mean, Iowa is a completely different it's not really a primary. It's not really, I think, a good cross section of Republican voters. New Hampshire, where I wouldn't say New Hampshire is your typical state, it is a primary. Then you have South Carolina. You put those two together, and I think you're going to have a pretty good feel for what might be going to happen when you hit the big states the following weeks.
Hey, Governor Egger, it's Dave Lundy. I'm wondering, Ted Cruz played the Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum playbook and did it successfully. They were the previous winners. Mm-hmm. But Donald, with the Donald Trump balloon deflating a fair bit tonight, where does this go? Does Ted Cruz have life after Iowa, or is this going to be very similar to what we've seen in previous years with the evangelicals winning out of Iowa and then you know, really not having a lot of life after that?
The way things have gone, you don't want to win Iowa. I mean, it just hasn't been, you know, good. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see New Hampshire. Now, if Rubio or – the other thing is, in New Hampshire, I think you're going to see the other guys, Bush, Kasich, at least right now, are probably as good a shape as Rubio was. Now, Rubio's going to get a bump from tonight, and he'll get all the media. I mean, the media, that's all they were talking about tonight, was about how good he was doing. That's going to help. And now – he also is going to get kicked on a lot more. He's finally going to get sent under the microscope, and we'll see how he holds up. We don't know yet. We know he makes good speeches. He's got good one-liners. But how does he respond when he's under attack or they're off script? That's going to be the – but, you know, so but he'll do well. I don't think Trump is completely going to disappear. I think it's not a given that he's going to be the nominee, as some people thought prior to tonight. And they're splitting votes, and you had Bush and Kasich doing pretty well, much better than they did tonight in Iowa, which they never really were in play for. Cruz could slip through again with that, you know, that group that is very loyal to him. I mean, he may not get, you know, 30% of the vote, but you don't need to get 30% of the vote to say you're the winner. Now, delegates is a different thing. Mm-hmm. I really think this, we could go to the convention and not know who's going to be the nominee.
Really?
Now, that doesn't usually happen, but with all the candidates and all the money, and you don't have many winner-take-alls anymore. I mean, these, you know, they split these delegates up. It probably won't happen because it never happens anymore. But of all the races in my lifetime, now, Reagan and Ford, but that was two people and, you know, that got resolved. But when you've got this many candidates, but that's the best thing for Cruz. I don't, if it ever gets down to two people, I'm not sure he'll win. If you get down to one candidate, but if you get three or four in there, I think that base, that religious right is very loyal to him.
Governor,
they'll show up.
Governor, a quick question about ethanol and subsidies and corn. You were the governor for 8 years of the second biggest corn producing state in the country. One thing you've got
and
to say.
Terry Branson, I was probably the biggest supporter of ethanol too. Not as big as he. Nobody's going to support ethanol right. more than Terry Branson.
And your fellow governor, Terry Branson, the longest serving governor in the history of the United States, actually took the step of saying, if Cruz wins here, that's bad for Iowa because he is opposed to ethanol. What's your reflection on that?
Well, I think that, 28% of the voters, that wasn't a big issue to them. What was the big issue, listen to the exit polls, was that somebody who shares my values, and again, that religious right, who I used to go after me every time, but I have a great deal of respect for their dedication and their commitment. They're the ones who voted for Cruz. There was something more important to them than ethanol. Now, I think after you get out of Iowa, I mean, that's not going to be a huge issue. But that's another interesting factor that he still won. Cruz won with the big turnout, which you didn't think that would hurt him. And then the ethanol thing you thought might hurt him. My hat's off to his organization. I think they did a great job over there. But it will be different in the other states.
Yeah.
But
Governor Egger,
other viable candidates. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead. I wanted to stop because Donald Trump is making his way to the podium for his concession speech. I want to thank you for joining us, Governor. And
you're happy to be with you.
It pains me to cut
it off. It ought to be an interesting few more primaries for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely check in with you again. Thank you very much, Governor Edgar.
Good talking to you.
All right, let's go to Martyr. Martyr, you got Trump?
Yeah, let's recap the numbers quickly. Ted Cruz takes the GOP Iowa caucuses with 28%. And second is Donald Trump at 24%. He's speaking right now.
I want to congratulate Ted, and I want to congratulate all of the incredible candidates, including Mike Huckabee, who's become a really good friend of mine. So congratulations to everybody. Congratulations. I want to thank all of the folks that worked with us. We had a great team, and we will continue to have a great team. And we're just so happy with the way everything worked out. And most importantly, I have to thank my wife and Laura and Eric and Vanessa and Don. They went out, and they were doing speeches. And in fact, Don and Eric, I think you did about 6 speeches today. So I just want to thank my family. They have been so amazing and so supportive. And we've had every indication. We're going now on. We have a poll. We're at 28 points ahead, okay? New Hampshire, we love New Hampshire. We love South Carolina. And we're leaving tonight, and tomorrow afternoon we'll be in New Hampshire, and that'll be something special. It's going to be a great week, and we're going to be up here next week. And I think we're going to be proclaiming victory, I hope. I will say this. I don't know who's going to win between Bernie and Hillary. I don't know what's going to happen with Hillary. She's got other problems, maybe bigger than the problems she's got in terms of nominations. But we've had so many different indications and polls that we beat her, and we beat her easily. And we will go on to get the Republican nomination, and we will go on to easily beat Hillary or Bernie or whoever the hell they throw up there.
So there you have it, Donald Trump speaking after essentially he lost Iowa to Ted Cruz, 28% again for Ted Cruz, 24% again for Donald Trump. He did mention, guys, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. That is a statistical dead heat right now. Both candidates at hovering around the 50% mark.
The surprising thing of the night for me is that Donald Trump is done with his speech. You just came out of that. He said, thank you very much. He's off the stage.
He's on to the 757, and he's gone.
I thought he would take this platform for 45 minutes and be like, let me tell you who else is a loser and do the whole thing. But he doesn't. He's a second place finisher tonight, and he's off the stage. How about that, Rob?
Well, you know, miracles do happen.
He was pretty gracious to the guy whose eligibility for the office for which he is running he questioned.
All right, here's what we're going to do.
Gracious to Ted Cruz.
Let's take a break because that speech bumped us back. And when we come back, we still have to hear. We have to hear from the Bernie Sanders camp, who right now, with 89% of the precincts reporting, 49.8% for Secretary Clinton, 49.6% for Senator Sanders. It is a dead heat in Iowa on the Democrat side. The Republican goes to Senator Cruz. The Democrats still too close to call. Here come the speeches. This is going to be a fun hour. Stay with us here on WGN Radio. Special coverage of the Iowa caucuses here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy with us. We're going to get right to the 10 o'clock hour, the big hour. We should expect speeches from Senator Ted Cruz, who won on the Republican side in Iowa. On the Democratic side, it is a virtual tie between Secretary Hillary Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders, although the specifics, 0.4%, with 90% of the precincts reporting. That is close. Coming up this hour, we're going to hear from people from the Bernie Sanders camp here in Chicago and Illinois, Alderman Sadlowski Garza. We're also going to hear from Chris Cleveland, who's the chair of the GOP party here in Chicago. He's also the man behind the Senator Cruz campaign here in Illinois. We're also going to hear from Bruce Dumont from Beyond the Beltway and other places as well. So much more to come, plus hopefully some speeches. We're going to get to hear from Hillary. I will say this before we go to the break. It pains me to be the guy who had to cut off Governor Edgar for Donald Trump.
To go to Donald Trump.
Like that. Those are the decisions you
extremes
have to make as a broadcaster
of the party.
I'm telling you.
We got to have him back just out of an apology tour to be like, I'm so sorry. Please continue to talk, Governor. All right, more to come here on The Download. Stay with us. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Much more to come with special coverage of the Iowa caucuses. We were going to wrap up here at 10 o'clock, and we're not. I feel I postponed the worst, hashtag the worst, Amy Guth and Sarah Alberton. They'll be back. They are great performers, and they will be back, and we'll have them next week. I feel terrible. But this is there's a virtual tie for Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the Democratic Iowa caucus for 2016. On the Republican side, Ted Cruz. This is special coverage of the Iowa caucuses. Nobody covers 2016 like 720. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests tonight, Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. We're breaking down a tremendous night, an amazing opening night for the 2016 race.
Oh, I mean, it's got some
huge. Couldn't ask for more. Huge. Ted Cruz with the upset. He wins on the Republican side. Donald Trump in second. Marco Rubio.
Rubio comes coming in right up.
Right, 1% behind Donald Trump. Amazing. And on the Democratic side, we're talking about a tie. Right
no,
now.
It's a huge Clinton victory. It's huge, Justin.
Wait, I missed
I
the
got
huge 0.31%
of victory.
0.31%, one third of 1%.
Right now, the
so far.
Right now, you've got I think it says 0.4. CNN is saying it's 0.2. Like it's so close. It's too close to call. This hour, we're going to get speeches probably from Senator Cruz. I don't know if we're going to hear from Senator Sanders or Secretary Clinton if it stays this close.
We should.
But it's a caucus. They're not. There's no recall. There's no recount. When the total is done, it's done. So I'm assuming that they'll speak regardless. So
yeah,
we've got some great guests coming up tonight. Chris Cleveland's going to join us. He's the chair of the GOP
in
Chicago.
Cleveland,
he's around. We'll find him. And
he's
in Cleveland. He's repping the Senator Cruz campaign here in Illinois.
Right.
Also, Bruce Dumont coming up. And also, my first, I'm very excited to talk with Alderman Sadlowski Garza. She's the alderman in the 10th, and she's part of the Bernie Sanders campaign. She was canvassing in Iowa this weekend. Alderman Sadlowski Garza, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, surprise for you? I mean, you were there this weekend. Do you feel like, this was in the tea leaves? You could read this?
You know, I'm not surprised at all. I expect Bernie to take this election. I think he really showed that he's a viable and electable candidate. And what happened in Iowa, the support in Iowa was great for Bernie. It was really good. I mean, and the energy was really, really high. So I wasn't surprised by this at all.
Did you find, this is Dave Lundy, did you find that you were able to get the students out to the polls in their home areas, even with the blizzard coming?
You know what? I wasn't in the college towns. I was more in a rural area. I was in Marshalltown and Ottumwa.
That's okay.
Sorry, my dad
only reason we all from Iowa, so I happen to know Ottumwa.
Well, and the only reason we all know that is that's where Radar O'Reilly was from in MASH.
Is that right? Was he from Ottumwa?
Yes, Ottumwa.
Alderman, let me ask you, the results are too close to call right now, but the front runner is Secretary Clinton, and she's opened up a 0.7 percent lead now.
Wow.
But let me ask you this. There have been a lot of pundits, even on this program, that have said if Senator Sanders can't get the victory in Iowa, this is going to be a difficult road. He may win New Hampshire, but then the southern states. Are you optimistic about Senator Sanders' campaign if he can't win this caucus?
You know, I really think Bernie's a winner already. I mean, people didn't take him seriously 6 months ago, and I think today really showed that he's a serious candidate. It also shows that the Democratic Party, there's a lot of disgruntled people out there. They're tired of the status quo. They're tired of the rich getting richer and, the working class get nothing. Hillary's got to take a good hard look at that. And I think some other people are talking about that as well.
Let me ask you this, for you and the primary being, still a month and a half away here in Illinois, for Senator Sanders to get here, I mean, the list of superdelegates and delegates that are supporting Secretary Clinton's campaign in Illinois is, I mean, it's the political it's everybody from the mayor of Chicago to, down the line on the Democratic Party. How do you see him having any success in the state of Illinois?
You know, his campaign reminds me a lot of mine. You know, last year it was a grassroots movement and nobody really looked at me as a viable candidate. And people just came out and it was boots on the ground and the momentum built and I won. You know, big money can't buy elections. People win elections, not money. And, you know, you can't underestimate anybody. It just, I mean, I don't think, like I said, nobody thought Bernie did what he's doing tonight and look what happened. So, and he didn't take any money from super PACs. So
Alderman, I want to ask you about Secretary Clinton. Okay, you're a supporter mm-hmm. of Bernie Sanders. What was wrong with Secretary Clinton? What drew you to Bernie? Why are you rejecting the nominal leader? I mean, I know she's clinging to a 0.7% lead, but what was it that 0.8, got you Chris. To reject her?
You know, actually, I really Bernie talks about things that really hit home for me. Student loans and, you know, campaign contribution reform, health insurance and things that affect people in my ward that I talk to every single day. I mean, it's things that he can relate to the working class realistically. Hillary, for me, you know, I can't relate to her. I mean, I can't. I mean, I met Bernie Sanders last year. I mean, I knew of Bernie Sanders. I knew, you know, he's voted consistently on some things, you know, always stood with the working class, and he's voted consistently that way for the last 40 years. He's never changed his mind. He's never wishy-washed. You know, he's got a lot of integrity as far as I'm concerned.
Alderman Sadlowski Garza is the alderman in the 10th ward here in Chicago. She's on the Bernie Sanders campaign. She spent the weekend canvassing in Iowa. Alderman, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go.
Nice
see you later.
Thank
see
you.
Ya. All right. So there you go. Alderman Sadlowski Garza, of course, I guess would be a delegate for Bernie Sanders, but she's here in Chicago. As we go out to Des Moines, where the it's a virtual tie, although we've seen the percentage points actually creep up towards Secretary Clinton. It's almost 1% now. It's 0.9. What do you got, Dave?
Well, just a quick point. While we've been sitting here, I've gone through every single one of these counties, and the overwhelming majority of the vote that's still outstanding are in counties that are going for Hillary by some percentage. There's one or two college towns out there, but my personal view, this is not WGN projecting, this is Dave Lundy projecting, is that I think Hillary's going to win, you know, pretty much by about a point.
Well, you know what? On the line with us right now from the Bernie Sanders rally, Commissioner Chuy Garcia. Commissioner Garcia, thanks for joining us on WGN.
Good evening. It's great to join you. A very exciting night, at least from the Bernie Sanders campaign, and we're watching the results come in. It's a dead heat, and while that last observation that was made, that there are some Clinton, some counties that favor Clinton, there are sections in those counties that could make the difference. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we won't know for a while yet, but it's very, very exciting. And from the Sanders vantage point, we feel that it's a great victory tonight because the political revolution that Bernie Sanders has been talking about, particularly the participation of young people in the state of Iowa, have made a difference. What many media observers and the establishment doubted has become a reality mm-hmm. in Iowa. And, of course, we're very, very excited.
Is this
watching the results very intently.
Let me ask you, Commissioner, is this a victory yes. for Senator Sanders if he can't pull it out tonight?
Absolutely, because, you know, having been down just 4 months ago, 41 points, to, you know, according to many polls that were done, being ruled out from having any real viability of making it a close contest just a month ago. The historic records of small donors, people who stepped up and have made more than 3.2 million contributions, never happened before in American politics. That is significant. So the fact that it is a dead heat tonight and the fact that, you know, at past 10 p.m., we don't know who the winner yet is a testament to the message and the powerful proposals of Bernie's ideas.
Well, Commissioner Garcia, we'll let you get back. Here we go. This is going to be tight. You know, we're down to 92% of the report to the precincts reporting. We're within one percentage point.
I hear them cheering in the room, so I think we just made up a few more delegates.
Oh, there you go. All right, okay. Commissioner Garcia, thanks for joining us. Take some time out tonight. All right, listen to that. They're still excited at the Bernie Sanders camp. I have to say, Dave, I mean, your analysis is that, you know, he says that the Clinton camp there are some Bernie Sanders voters in there as well.
There are pockets of Sanders support.
And I'm sure there are pockets of Sanders support.
But isn't pockets enough at this point?
You're talking counties like Polk County, where Des Moines is, mm-hmm. and Hillary's winning that county right now by, I think, 6 or 8 points.
I just want to say, before we get to Cruz has got 8 delegates lined up, Donald Trump 7 delegates lined up, and Marco Rubio comes out of tonight with 6 delegates.
Rob, you got Senator Cruz up on the podium.
I do. Let's go through the numbers real quick. He took the Iowa caucuses on the Republican side with 28% of the vote. Guys, 47,000 people voted for Ted Cruz. That is a record for a Republican or a Democrat in Iowa in the caucuses. Here's Senator Ted Cruz.
Let me first of all say, to God be the glory. Tonight is a victory for the grassroots. Tonight is a victory for courageous conservatives across Iowa and all across this great nation. Tonight, the state of Iowa has spoken. Iowa has sent notice that the Republican nominee and the next president of the United States will not be chosen by the media. Will not be chosen by the Washington establishment. Will not be chosen by the lobbyists, but will be chosen by the most incredible, powerful force where all sovereignty resides in our nation, by we the people, the American people. Tonight, thanks to the incredible hard work of everyone gathered here, of courageous conservatives across this state, we together earn the votes of 48,608 Iowans. To put in perspective your incredible victory that you have won tonight, that is the most votes ever cast for any Republican primary winner. Tonight.
So there you have it, guys. Again, Ted Cruz, the GOP winner in the Iowa caucuses with 28% of the vote. I said 47,000. He said 48,000. I'm not going to split hairs. But as you heard him say, it was a record-setting turnout for either a Democrat or Republican in terms of numbers of votes for Ted Cruz
tonight. Amazing to me that the turnout was so impressive and Donald Trump did not win.
You know, Donald Trump did not have the classic ground game. And Ted Cruz started building his ground force really about a year ago. And I think that he brilliantly expanded it. He networked out. He had people who were training other people. He had people that were motivated. And you have to give him the credit that he deserves. Because
he's been working this for a while. Yeah.
You know, he's a first-term senator. He wasn't particularly well-known. He has certainly been excoriated by the media and by
his
fellow
colleagues.
Republicans. Yeah. And we had earlier tonight, was it Adam Kinzinger?
Yeah. Adam Kinziger basically said to know Ted is to hate Ted.
He said that we're not supporting him because we know him. Now, of course, he did have, notwithstanding that, Steve King, a leading conservative figure in the state of Iowa and a congressman, was strongly supporting Cruz. Uh-huh. And he really put together a very impressive win, taking down Donald Trump, who for the last 7 months has dominated the media and the conversation.
Let's go to Chris Cleveland. Chris is the chair of the GOP party here in Chicago.
Chicago Republican chairman. Hey, Chris.
He's running Senator. He's running Senator Cruz's campaign. Thanks for joining us. Big win. What's your take?
This is a huge win. It is a win for a man who is principled and has a tremendous amount of courage. This is a man who had the courage to go to Iowa and say that he was against ethanol, and he won. It is absolutely spectacular. You know, everybody thought that with a turnout like this, you know, Trump was going to take it all. But not only was the turnout huge, but Cruz just blew them all away.
Let me ask you, Chris, what was it? We've talked about the ground game and things like that, but what was it in terms of his positions? What issues worked particularly well for him?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a laundry list of issues. It's more about his character and his integrity and his willing to stand up to all these things we don't like, the media and the Washington cartel, and stand up for principle at some cost to himself. You know, he didn't make any friends when he went to Washington and stood up against Obamacare and filibuster and whatnot, but it made people come to admire him. And right now, his numbers in the polls, he is the most admired candidate of all of them. He's got the highest positives because he's willing to stand on principle.
Chris, this is Dave Lundy. Let me ask you a quick question. Tonight, Ted Cruz joined the ranks of Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum as candidates who were well-organized and appealed to the evangelical vote in Iowa and pulled out a great victory. But each of those candidates had a great deal of difficulty going beyond Iowa. How do you see Ted Cruz overcoming what others in the past have failed to do?
Well, what I see is on his campaign, and I know all of his senior campaign people, I've seen the best organized, most professional presidential campaign I have ever been involved with, and I've been doing this for 30 years now. I have not met a single jerk on this campaign. They are all brilliant. I mean, like Cruz is himself. They know exactly what they're doing. They've got a very precise plan, and they're executing it perfectly. I just came back from a couple of days in Iowa. I was making phone calls in the campaign headquarters and going out and walking. And the place just ran like clockwork. The feeling there was unbelievable. There's nothing like anything I've ever seen.
Chris Cleveland is he's the man behind the GOP party here in Chicago. He's also running the Ted Cruz campaign in the state of Illinois. As we look to the campaign here in Illinois, this has to energize the Ted Cruz base and the voters here in Illinois.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing it from everybody, and we're going to hear about a lot more of it after this particular victory. You know, we are March 15th. It's one of the later primaries, but it's not at the end. What the campaign has told me is that Illinois is going to matter, and they are going to put some resources into it. Obviously, we've got to get through the early ones first, and then the SEC primary is going to be a very big deal. But we don't know if the campaign is actually going to last till March 15th. I'm inclined to think that it will be. And what I'm hoping we can do here is replicate the model that they had in Iowa. Do the same kinds of things in the same way, with the same appeal, with the same message. And it's going to resonate here in Illinois as it did elsewhere.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Cleveland, thanks for joining us tonight on The Download. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Well, it looks like coming to the stage, Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton. I haven't seen anything from Senator Sanders. Usually you would go in that order, but it looks like Secretary Clinton is speaking on the stage. Is that right, Rob?
Yeah, she's addressing her supporters right now. Again, 95% of the votes being tabulated from the Democratic side, and it's still a statistical dead heat. But here's Hillary Clinton.
An incredible honor to campaign across Iowa with so many of you to make the case for the kind of future we want for the Democratic Party and for the United States of America. is so much at stake in this election. I don't need to tell you. Every single one of you who came out for me, who worked so many hours, from my young organizers with energy and passion. To the families and friends across this state, I am deeply grateful. Well, I love all of you. But here's what I want you to know. It is rare that we have the opportunity we do now to have a real contest of ideas, to really think hard about what the Democratic Party stands for and what we want the future of our country to look like if we do our part to build it. I am a progressive who gets things done for people. I am honored to stand in the long line of American reformers who make up our minds that the status quo is not good enough, that standing still is not an option, and that brings people together to find ways forward that will improve the lives of Americans. I look back over the years of my involvement from that very first job I had at the Children's Defense Fund, and I know what we are capable of doing. I know we can create more good-paying jobs and raise incomes for hardworking Americans again. I know that we can finish the job of universal health care coverage for every single man, woman, and child.
So there you have it. Hillary Clinton speaking to her supporters in Iowa. Justin, as it stands right now, still too close to call. 95% of the votes having been counted on the Democratic side, and it's still within that 49% margin for both she and Bernie Sanders.
No. Hold on a second, Martier.
Roebling is very excited about
this. It is a tie. Hillary did not win. I am declaring. It is 21 delegates.
8%. 28% she won by, Chris.
Yeah. 21 delegates to 21 delegates. Bernie Sanders qualified for 21 delegates, and Hillary Clinton qualified for 21 delegates, except she deleted 30,000 emails. But 21 to 21, and she's down 30,000 emails. I declare Cruz the winner.
Rob, I think it's kind of a weird move that Hillary Clinton goes to the stage before, and essentially of all of the candidates left, Senator Sanders gets the last word. Yeah,
Bernie should have.
He's the Carl Lewis of this decathlon. He's going to bring it up here.
That's it. Where's Bernie?
Right, let's take a break. We gotta get a break in, and then we want to get back to Rob for the news to give us the update. And then, we're going to hear from Senator Sanders, I assume. And then also Bruce Dumont's going to join us after the news. Stay with us.
Wow, we still have. I mean, I know that right now the projections are for Hillary Clinton to win. She already spoke talking about she's essentially won.
She claimed
but
victory.
I mean, we're talking about what? 93%. CNN has this, so do all the newspapers. 93% of the precincts reporting, Hillary Clinton with 49.8%, Bernie Sanders with 49.6%. 0.2.
Two tenths of a percent.
All right, we're way behind.
And on the delegate, somebody just changed the delegate board. 22 for Hillary and 21 for Bernie.
Ha! Take that, Roebling.
I'm telling you. The Des Moines Register just changed the delegate board.
All right, Bernie Sanders is the last of the players to speak. He hasn't spoke yet, but before we do that, let's get to the news. Sponsored by Cars for Kids. Here's Rob Martier. Rob, what do we got?
Yeah, and still speaking, guys, Senator Ted Cruz, who did win the Iowa caucuses on the GOP side. Now, I'm not kidding. Ted Cruz is still speaking
Ted,
to supporters.
It's time to stop. Hop on the plane.
Now, here's the thing.
Go to New Hampshire.
We carried Ted Cruz's opening comments live. Then we went to Hillary Clinton. Then we went to break. Now we're back here with news again, and Ted Cruz is still yapping.
Talking. That's great.
Still talking. So there you have it. Ted Cruz did take the GOP side of things tonight in Iowa, 28% to Donald Trump's 24%.
What a night. Special election coverage of the Iowa caucuses here on WGN. Nobody covers 2016 like 720. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy, they've been here for the long haul. Thank you, you guys, for giving your expert analysis.
Great to be here. Thank you.
What an amazing night. I mean, Cruz upsets Donald Trump.
Yep.
Donald Trump almost doesn't even get the second upset. Spot as Senator Marco Rubio has a strong showing with over 23% of the vote.
Comes in very strong at the end.
But the big story on the other side, the Democratic Iowa caucus right now, Hillary Clinton with 49.8%. Bernie Sanders at 49.6%. We are awaiting Senator Sanders.
Everybody knows Marty O'Malley now.
Yeah, right.
O'Malley's romping at 0.53%.
He's already dropped out of the race.
Wait. Hillary's lead is now up to 0.31.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God.
So now all eyes are fixated on the stage in Des Moines as Senator Sanders is the last to speak. Before we get to him, as we're waiting, let's bring in host of Beyond the Beltway, a friend to all of Chicago media, Bruce Dumont, who was spending the night in Iowa, is on his way back to Chicago. Mr. Dumont, thanks for taking some time out tonight.
Gentlemen, it's great to be with you. You've been on the radio for the last couple of hours, and I'm on the Reagan Highway heading back to Chicago with Iowa in the rearview mirror.
There you go. So are you surprised? I mean, before we hear Senator Sanders, and I think he's about to come to stage, what's your takeaway from this tonight?
Well, I think both Democrats are going to be able to say they won it. Nobody's going to gloat about this winner. I mean, the point is they both can say they won it. Bernie will still have some momentum heading into New Hampshire next week. And again, I had suggested that I thought Rubio could be the big headline coming out of Iowa tonight. Certainly, he's the second headline. The big headline is that Cruz was a big winner. Trump finished second. And Rubio was nipping at his heels, and Trump was, he's got to lick his wounds a little bit.
All right, Bruce, we got to take a break here because here comes Senator Sanders to the podium. He's about to speak to his supporters in Des Moines. Rob, it looks like he's patiently waiting, but he's ready to talk.
He is. Here's Senator Bernie Sanders.
Iowa, thank you. Nine months ago, we came to this beautiful state. We had no political organization. We had no money. We had no name recognition. And we were taking on the most powerful political organization in the United States of America. And tonight, while the results are still not known, it looks like we are in a virtual tie. Still not complete. It looks like we'll have about half of the Iowa delegates. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Secretary Clinton. And her organization for waging a very vigorous campaign. And I want to thank Governor O'Malley. It's never easy to lose. I've lost more than one campaign. But he should know that he contributed a whole lot to the dialogue, that he ran an issue-oriented campaign, and he won the respect of the American people. As I think about what happened tonight, I think the people of Iowa have sent a very profound message to the political establishment, to the economic establishment, and by the way, to the media establishment.
And once again, the evil media guys, here it is, 93.93% of the Democratic caucuses reporting now, 49.85% for Hillary Clinton, 49.62% for Bernie Sanders.
Unbelievable. And Ted Cruz, is he off stage?
Well, they've cut away from him. I think they've had enough of Ted Cruz. He might still be speaking. I don't know.
He's speaking somewhere.
There's a guy sweeping up and back, listening to every word.
Amazing. Laura, here's what we should do. Let's take a break, get our last break out of the way. We'll come back. We'll wrap up before Patty Vasquez, pretty late with Patty Vasquez, takes over at 11. But what a night. An amazing tie. We got a tie. So we'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll reflect on the
Clinton
Iowa
win.
Caucus 2016.
Huge Clinton win.
You've been listening to special coverage of the Iowa caucuses here on WGN Radio. Nobody covers 2016 like 720. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, my guests tonight as we wrap it up here and reflect on quite a night, quite a start to the 2016 race to the White
Started
House.
With a barn burner.
We
doesn't
needed
get
this.
Doesn't get better than this.
We almost needed this for the nine-month lead-up to this that was just getting excruciating. This came out, and it did not disappoint.
That's why this day is great. Election days are great. All the pundits, all the commentary, all the bloviating that Roebling and I have been doing here for months.
Speak for yourself.
It all comes down to this. To voters actually voting. And I got to tell you, truth is, I called every one of these results properly, for the record. Just remember that next week, Chris. But I didn't quite expect this Clinton win to be quite so nail-bitingly close. 0.3% as of this hour.
Well, I want to say that I think you've seen tonight a repudiation of the status quo. I mean, there is a very serious question about the status quo on the Democratic side with Senator Sanders doing as well as he did. On the Republican side, people are talking about Cruz, but, you know, there have been three primaries going on the Republican side. There was an outsider primary, there was an establishment primary, and then late in the game, there broke out an anyone but Cruz primary. But I'm sorry, an anyone but Trump.
Anyone but Trump primary.
And let me tell you, if you take the Ted Cruz and the Donald Trump results, you are over 50%. You're close to 52% just right there. You add Ben Carson to that, and you're in the 60% territory. So you've got Sanders questioning the established authority of the Clinton, you know, dynasty over on the Democratic side. And on the Republican side, the establishment candidates, I mean, Rubio, 23%. You start adding, you know, Jeb Bush and folks to that, like John Kasich. And you're really in the sort of 33% category. So a lot of the status quo has been questioned tonight.
No, I completely agree with that. I mean, on the Democratic side, Bernie had a very strong showing, as he will tell you.
He's still speaking, by the way.
He is. He and Ted Cruz actually apparently are having a conference call right now. This is an anti-establishment thing. And the question is going to be when you go to New Hampshire, which is much more of a kind of conventional establishment primary type state, how is that going to play itself out?
I mean, you can't really see what happened today or tonight in Iowa. Doesn't really have much, and we've heard this from a lot of the pundits tonight, doesn't have much at all anything to do with New Hampshire, does it?
I think that you are going to, you're going to have a boost if you are, Bernie Sanders is doing well in New Hampshire. He is going to continue to do well. Ted Cruz, by winning decisively, is going to do better in New Hampshire.
I think we might have to wrap up because Chris is dying. But go ahead, Dave.
Well, the interesting thing about New Hampshire is that all eyes are going to be on the Republicans because Bernie Sanders is from the neighboring state. He's expected to win New Hampshire. He's going to win it convincingly, whether he wins it by 5 or 15 or 20. I don't think it really is going to matter that much in the overall scheme of things. Mm-hmm. The next focus on the Democratic side is going to be South Carolina and whether Bernie can get African-American votes.
Well, you'll be able to hear us here on Monday nights with Touche Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, thanks to everybody who joined us tonight. A stellar lineup of people
Fabulous
here.
Fabulous show, Justin.
A lot of fun to be
thanks
here.
Thanks to Pete Zimmerman. Thanks to Rob Martyr. Thanks to everybody who texted in. We didn't really get the calls flowing in because it was just rock'em sock'em with the speeches. Also, thanks to Patrick from Senn High School who went to bed. But he was very into texting all night, but he was a part of it. But he's like, I got to go to bed. But this was the kind of thing. But I want to say thanks, you guys.
What? I'm going
to
be on Channel 9 tomorrow morning with Marge Halperin.
There you go. And, of course, 6 to 10 here on WGN Radio. Steve Cochran will be live with all the analysis you can handle tomorrow morning from Des Moines. It's a download. Let's take a break. What a night. Huh, Pete, that was crazy. That was a tremendous night. I wish all the elections could be like that. A nail-biter for the Democratic side, an upset on the Republican side. Amazing work, Rob Martyr. That was quite a night.
It was fun.
It was, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. We'll be back tomorrow night, but we're only doing, I think, from 7 to 7:30. Before the Blackhawks are back, and then we're back on Wednesday. But I wish it was election night every night. This is too much fun. All right, here's the news with Rob Martyr.